editing bog water.
Now, we've let this thing go too long.
You're a fine armful. Those 20 pounds you've gained.
I've gotten too fat, you mean, dear. I really ought to reduce.
The fat, my lady, you're just right, and we'll have no talk of reducing. Is that why you ate so little breakfast?
So little? I thought I ate a lot.
No, you didn't. That's enough to please me.
Oh, you. Well, you expect everyone to eat the same enormous breakfast that you do. But nobody in the world could without dying of indigestion.
Well, I hope I'm not as big a glutton as that sounds. But thank God I've kept my appetite. And I'm the digestion of a young man of 20, if I am 65.
You surely have, James. No one could deny you that. I wonder why the boys have stayed in the dining room. Kathleen wants to clear the table.
Some secret confab they don't want me to hear, I suppose. But they're cooking up a new scheme to touch the old man. Well, there's nothing like the first after-breakfast cigar, if it's a good one. And this new lot has the right mellow flavor. They're a great bargain, too. I got them dirt cheap. 'Twas McGuire put me onto them.
McGuire? I hope he didn't put you onto any new piece of property at the same time. His real estate bargains don't turn out so well.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Mary. After all, he advised me to buy that Chestnut Street property. And I made a quick turnover on it for a fine profit.
I know, the famous one stroke of good luck. I'm sure McGuire never dreamed of... Oh, never mind, James. I know, it's a waste of breath trying to convince you that you're not a cunning real estate speculator.
I've no such idea. But land is land, and it's safer than the stocks and bonds of the Wall Street swindlers. Well, let's not argue about business this early in the morning.
James, it's Edmund that you should scold for not eating enough. He hardly touched anything except coffee. Now, he needs to eat to keep up his strength. I keep telling him that, but he says he has no appetite. Of course, there's nothing like a bad summer cold to take away your appetite.
Yes, it's only natural. But you mustn't let yourself get worried, Mary.
Oh, I'm not. I know he'll be all right in a day or so, if he takes care of himself. All the same, it does seem a shame that he should have to be sick right now.
Yes, it does. But you mustn't let it upset you. Remember, Mary, you've got to take care of yourself, too.
I'm not upset. There's nothing to be upset about. What makes you think I'm upset?
Oh, just that you've seemed a bit high-strung the past few days.
I have. No, dear, that's nonsense. That's just your imagination. Now, you really must not watch me all the time, James. I mean, you're making me self-conscious.
Now, Mary, that's your imagination. If I've been watching you, it's to admire how fat and beautiful you look. Oh, I can't tell you the deep happiness it gives me to see you as you've been since you came back to us. Your dear, sweet self again. So keep up the good work, Mary.
I will, dear. Thank heavens the fog is gone. I do feel a little out of sorts this morning. I didn't get very much sleep last night with that awful foghorn going all night long.
Yes, it's like having a sick whale in the backyard.
Yes.
Kept me awake too.
Dear, dear, well, you have such a strange way of showing your restlessness. You were snoring so hard I couldn't tell which was the foghorn.
You always exaggerate about my snoring.
If you could hear yourself just once. What's the joke, I wonder?
Well, it's on me, I'll bet that much. It's always on the old man.
Oh, yes, of course. It's terrible the way we all pick on you. You're so abused. Well, whatever the joke is about, it's a relief to hear Edmund laugh again, isn't it? He's been so down in the mouth lately.
A joke of Jamie's, I'll wager. He's forever making sneering fun of somebody, that one.
Oh, no, don't start in on poor Jamie, dear. He'll turn out all right in the end. You'll see.
Well, he'd better start soon. He's nearly 34.
Good heavens, are they going to stay in the dining room all day? Jamie, Edmund, come in the living room and let Kathleen clear the table.
You'd find excuses for him no matter what he did.
Shush. I have just been teasing your father about his snoring. Now we leave it to the boys, because they must have heard you too. Not you, Jamie. I could hear you down the hall almost as bad as your father. What are you staring at, Jamie? Is my hair coming down? It's hard for me to fix it properly now. My eyes have gotten so bad, and I never can find my glasses.
Your hair's all right, Mama. Yeah, I was just thinking how well you looked.
Just what I was telling her, Jamie. Fat and sassy, there'll soon be no holding her.
Yes, you certainly do look grand, Mama. And I'll back you up about Papa's snoring. God, what a racket.
I heard him, too.
the Moor. I know his trumpet.
Well, if it takes my snoring to make you remember Shakespeare instead of the dope sheet on the ponies, I hope I'll keep on with it.
Oh, James, don't be so touchy.
Yes, for Pete's sake, Papa, the first thing after
now,
breakfast,
Edmund,
give it a rest, can't you?
Your father wasn't finding fault with you, and you don't always have to jump to Jamie's defense. Anyone would think that you were the one that was 10 years older.
What is all the fuss about? Let's just forget it.
Yeah, forget it. Forget everything and face nothing. It's a convenient philosophy.
Oh, James,
if you have no ambition.
Be quiet. You must have gotten out of bed on the wrong side this morning. Now, what were you two grinning about like Cheshire cats when you were coming in? What was the joke?
Yes, let us in on it, lads. I told your mother it was probably on me, but never mind. I'm used to that.
Well, don't look at me. This is the kid's story.
Oh, yes, I meant to tell you about it last night, Papa, but I forgot. Yesterday, when I went for a walk, I dropped in at the inn. And who do you think I met there? With a beautiful bun on, but Shaughnessy, the tenant on that farm of yours.
That awful man, but he is funny, isn't he?
It's not so funny if you're his landlord. He's a wily, shanty mick, that one. He could hide behind a corkscrew. What was he complaining about now, Edmund? For I'm sure he was complaining. I suppose he wants his rent lowered.
No, he didn't beef about anything. He was so pleased with life, he even bought a drink, and that's practically unheard of. He was delighted because he'd had a fight with your friend Harker, the Standard Oil millionaire, and won a glorious victory.
Oh, now, James, you'll really have to do something.
Bad luck to Shaughnessy, anyway.
You know, I'll bet the next time you see old Harker at the club and give him the old respectful bow, he won't even see you.
Go on with your story, Edmund.
Well, you remember, Papa, that the ice pond on Harker's estate is right next to the farm. And you remember that Shaughnessy keeps pigs? Well, it seems there was a break in the fence, and the pigs have been bathing in the millionaire's ice pond. And Harker's foreman told him he was certain that Shaughnessy had broken the fence on purpose to give his pigs a free wallow.
Oh, good heavens.
Dirty scallywag. I'll bet he did, too. Just like him.
So, Harker came in person to rebuke Shaughnessy. A very bonehead play. Harker had about as much chance as I would with Jack Johnson. And Shaughnessy got a few drinks under his belt and was waiting at the gate to welcome him. He told me he never gave Harker a chance to open his mouth. He began by shouting that he was no slave Standard Oil could trample on. He was a king of Ireland if he had his rights. And scum was scum to him no matter how much money it had stolen from the poor. Then he accused Harker of making his foreman break down the fence to entice the pigs into the ice pond in order to destroy them. The poor pigs, Shaughnessy yelled, had caught their death of cold. Many of them were dying of pneumonia, and several others had come down with cholera from drinking the poisoned water. He told Harker he was going to hire a lawyer to sue for damages, and he wound up by saying that he had to put up with poison ivy, potato bugs, ticks, snakes, and skunks on his farm, but he was an honest man who drew a line somewhere, and he'd be damned if he'd stand for a Standard Oil thief trespassing. So, would Harker kindly remove his dirty feet from the premises before he sicked the dogs on him? And Harker did!
Oh, what a dreadful
man. God, you can't beat him. Dirty blackguard. You'll get me in serious trouble yet. I hope you told him I'd be sore as hell.
No, I told him you'd be tickled to death over the great Irish victory, and so you are. Stop
well,
faking, Papa.
Tickled to death.
James, you did
no,
not.
No, Mary,
did.
A joke is a joke.
I told Shaughnessy he should have reminded Harker that a Standard Oil millionaire should welcome the flavor of hog in his ice water as an appropriate touch.
What are you laughing at? There's nothing funny. Fine, son, you are helping that fellow get me into a lawsuit.
Oh, James, don't lose your temper.
And you're worse than he is encouraging him. I suppose you regret you weren't there to prompt Shaughnessy with a few nastier insults. You've a fine talent for that, if for nothing else.
James, you have no reason to scold.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Pop, if you're going to start that stuff, I'll beat it. I left my book upstairs anyway.
Oh.
God, Pop, I should think...
James, you mustn't let Edmund upset you. He doesn't feel well, remember? There's nothing like a bad summer cold to make you irritable.
It is more than just a cold he's got. That kid is damn sick.
Why do you say that? It is just a cold. Anyone can tell that. Why do you always have to imagine things?
All Jamie meant was that Edmund might have a touch of something else. And that would make his cold worse.
Sure, Mama. That's all I meant.
Dr. Hardy said it might be a bit of malaria he picked up in the tropics. If it is, quinine will soon cure it.
Dr. Hardy, I wouldn't mind what he said if he swore on a stack of Bibles. I know doctors. They're all alike. Anything. They don't care what. Just to keep you coming to them. Well, what is it? What are you looking at? Is my hair...
There's nothing the matter with your hair. The healthier and fatter you get, the vainer you become. You'll soon spend half a day primping in front of the mirror.
I'm going to have to get new glasses. My eyes are so bad.
Your eyes are beautiful. And well, you know it.
James, that's so silly. And in front of Jamie, too.
Oh, he's on you. He knows all this fussing about eyes and hair is only fishing for compliments, huh, Jamie?
Yes, come on, Mama. You can't kid us.
Oh, get along with both of you. But I did truly have beautiful hair once, didn't I, James?
The most beautiful in the world.
But it was a rare shade of reddish brown, and it was so long, came down below my knees. But you ought to remember that, Jamie, because it wasn't until after Edmund was born that I had a single grey hair, and then it began to turn white.
And that made it prettier than ever?
Oh, will you listen to your father? After 35 years of marriage? Well, he isn't a great actor for nothing, is he? I can't stay here listening to you, even to compliments. I've got to go and see the cook about dinner. Oh, that Bridget, she's so lazy, and she's so sly. She starts telling me about all her relatives, so I can't get a word in edgeways and scold her. Now remember, James, you're not to make Edmund work in the grounds with you. Not that he's not strong, but he'll perspire. Then he'll catch more cold.
You're a fine lunkhead. Haven't you got any sense? The one thing to avoid is saying anything that might get her more upset over Edmund.
All right. Have it your way. I think it's the wrong idea to let Mama go on kidding herself. It'll only make the shock worse when she has to face it. Anyway, you can see she's deliberately fooling herself with that summer cold talk. She knows better.
Knows? Nobody knows yet.
Well, I do. I was with Edmund when he went to see Doc Hardy on Monday. I heard him pull that touch of malaria stuff. That isn't what he thinks anymore. He was stalling. You know that as well as I do. You talked to him when you went uptown yesterday, didn't you?
He couldn't say anything for sure yet. He's to phone me today before Edmund goes to see him.
He thinks it's consumption, doesn't he, Papa?
He said it might be.
Poor kid, goddammit. Well, it might never have happened if you'd sent him to a real doctor when he first got sick.
What's the matter with Hardy? He's always been our doctor up here.
Everything's the matter with him. Even in this hick burg, he's rated third class. He's a cheap old quack.
That's right. That's right. Run him down. Run down everybody. Everybody's a fake to you.
Hardy only charges a dollar. That's what makes you think he's a fine doctor.
Now you be quiet. You're not drunk now. If you mean I can't afford to find society doctors who prey on the rich summer.
Can't afford? You're one of the biggest property owners around here.
Doesn't mean I'm rich. It's all mortgage.
Because you always buy more instead of paying off mortgages. If Edmund was a lousy acre of land you wanted, the sky would be the limit.
That's a lie.
All right, Pop. Look, I'm a fool to argue with you. You can't change the leopard spots.
No, you can't. You've taught me that lesson only too well. I've given up any hope you'll ever change yours. Dare tell me what I can afford. You never learned the value of a dollar in your life, and you never will. You never saved a dollar in your life. At the end of each season, you're penniless. You've thrown away your whole salary on whores and whiskey.
My salary, Christ.
Well, it's more than you're worth, and you wouldn't get that if it wasn't for me. If you weren't my son, there isn't a manager in the business would hire you. Your reputation stinks so.
I never wanted to be an actor. You forced me on the stage.
That's a lie. You never made any effort to do anything yourself. You left it up to me to get you a job, and I have no influence except in the theater. Forced you. All you ever wanted to do was loaf around bar rooms. You'd have been content to sit back like a lazy lunk and sponge on me for the rest of your life. And after all the money I wasted on your education, then all you ever did was get fired and disgraced from every college you ever went
to. For God's sake, don't drag up that ancient history.
Well, it's not ancient history. You have to come home every summer to live on me.
Look, I earn my board and my lodging working on the ground. It saves you hiring a man.
I'd be driven to do that much. I wouldn't give a damn if you ever displayed the slightest sign of gratitude. But the only thanks is to sneer at me for being a miser, sneer at my profession, sneer at every damn thing in the world except yourself.
That's not true, Papa. You can't hear me talking to myself, that's all.
Ingratitude. The vilest weed that grows.
Oh, God, I could see that line coming. Jeez, how many thousand times... All right, look, Papa. I'm a bum. Anything you like, so long as it stops the argument.
If you'd only get ambition in your head instead of folly. You're young yet. You can still make your mark. You had the talent to be a fine actor, and you still have. You're my son.
Let's not talk about me. I'm not interested in the subject, neither are you. What started us on this? Oh, Doc Hardy. When's he going to call you up about Edmund?
Around lunchtime. I couldn't have sent Edmund to a better doctor. Hardy's treated him whenever he was sick up here since he was knee-high. He knows his constitution as no other doctor could. And it's not a question of my being miserly, as you'd like to make out. Besides, what could the finest specialist in America do for Edmund? after he's deliberately ruined his health by the mad life he's led since he was fired from college. I warned him for years his body wouldn't stand it, but he wouldn't heed me. And now it's too late.
What do you mean it's too late? Papa, you talk as if you thought Edmund...
Don't be a damn fool. I'm only saying what's plain to everybody. His health has broken down, and he may be an invalid for a long time.
Papa, I know that it's an Irish peasant idea that consumption is fatal. Well, it probably is when you live on a hovel on a bog. But over here, with modern treatment and modern
doctors...
Don't
I know that? What are you gabbing about? Keep your dirty tongue off Ireland. With your talk about peasants and hovels and bogs. And the less you say about Edmund's sickness, the better for your own conscience. You're more responsible than anyone.
Now, that's a lie. I won't stand for that, Papa.
It's the truth. You've been the worst influence on him. He grew up admiring you as a hero, but you set a fine example. If you ever gave him any advice except in the ways of rottenness, I never heard it. You made him all before his time, pumping him full of what you call worldly wisdom. When he was too young to know that you were so poisoned by your own failure in life, you wanted to believe every man was a knave with a soul for sale, and every woman who wasn't a whore was a fool.
All right, Papa. I did put Edmund wise to things. But all I did was make a pal of him. All I did was be absolutely frank with him so he'd learn from my mistakes that, well, if you can't be good, at least you can be careful. And that is a rotten accusation, Papa. You know how much the kid means to me and how much I care for him. I'd do anything in the world for him.
Oh, I'm sure you meant it for the best, Jamie. I didn't say you did it deliberately to harm him.
Besides, it's damned rot. I'd like to see anybody try to influence Edmund more than he wants to be. His quietness fools people into thinking they can do what they like with him, but he's stubborn as hell, and what he does is what he wants to do, and to hell with anybody else. And what did I to do with all those crazy stunts he's pulled in the past few years, working his way all over the map as a sailor and all that stuff? I thought it was a damn fool idea, and I told him so. You can't imagine me getting fun out of being on a beach in South America, drinking rot gut, living in filthy dives, can you? No, thanks. I'll stick to Broadway and a room with a bath and bars that serve bonded bourbon.
You and Broadway, huh? Well, it's made you what you are. At least Edmund had the guts to go off on his own and not come whining back to me when he was broke.
Well, he's always come home broke finally, hasn't he? What it is going away, get him. Look at him now. That's a lousy thing to say. I don't really mean that.
He's been doing very well on the paper. I was hoping he'd found the work he wanted to do at last.
Yeah. You know, some of the poems and parodies he's written are pretty damn good.
Damnable luck that Edmund should be sick right now. Couldn't have come at a worse time for him. Mm. Or for your mother. Damnable that she should have this to upset her, just when she needs peace and freedom from worry. Been so well in the 2 months since she came back. Been heaven for me. This home has been a home again. But I don't have to tell you, Jamie.
I felt the same way, Papa.
You can see how strong and sure of herself she is. She's a different woman entirely from before. She has control of her nerves now. Or she did have, until Edmund got sick. Now you can feel her growing tense and frightened underneath. God, I wish we didn't have to tell her, but we will if he has to go to a sanatorium. And the worst of it is her father died of consumption. She worshipped him, and she's never gotten over it. Yes. It will be hard for her, but she can do it. She has the willpower now. We must help her in every way we can, Jamie.
Of course, Papa. Now, outside of her nerves, she seems perfectly all right this morning.
Never better. Full of fun and mischief. Why did you say seems? Why shouldn't she be all right? What the hell are you talking about?
Papa, don't start jumping down my throat. God, this ought to be one thing we ought to be able to discuss without a battle.
I'm sorry, Jamie, but... Go on, tell me.
There's nothing to tell. I just said I was all wrong. It's just that last night, Well, you know how I am. I can't forget the past any more than you can. I can't help being suspicious, and that's the hell of it. Makes it hell for Mama. She watches us watching her.
I know. Well, what was it? Can't you speak out?
It's nothing, I tell you. Just my damn foolishness. Around 3 o'clock this morning, I heard Mama moving around in the spare room. And then she went to the bathroom. I pretended to be asleep, all outside my room to make sure that I was.
Well, for God's sake, is that all? She told me herself the foghorn kept her awake all night. And ever since Edmund's been sick, she's been up and down going to his room to see how he was.
Yeah, that's right. She did stop to listen outside his room. But it was her being in that spare room that scared me. I just couldn't help remembering that when she starts sleeping alone in there, it's always been
well,
a sure sign.
Well, it isn't this time. It's easily explained. Where else could she go to get away from my snoring? God, how you can have a mind that always sees the worst motives behind everything is beyond me.
Now, don't pull that. I just said I was all wrong. God, Papa, don't you think I'm as glad of that as you are?
I'm sure you are, Jamie. Would be like a curse she can't escape if worry over Edmund was after bringing him into the world.
She didn't have anything to do with that.
I'm not blaming her.
Then who are you blaming? Edmund for being born?
You damn fool. No one was to blame.
Yeah, that bastard of a doctor was. From what Mama said, he was another cheap quack like Hardy. You wouldn't pay for a first-rate doctor. You're so...
So I'm to blame. Is that what you're getting at, you evil-minded loafer?
Well, if we're going to work on the front hedge, we'd better get started.
Yes. Too fine a morning to waste indoors arguing. Take a look out the window, Mary. There's no fog in the harbor. I'm sure the spell we've had of it is over now.
I hope so, dear. Did I actually hear you suggesting work on the front heads, Jamie? Wonders will never cease. You must want pocket money badly.
When don't I? I expect at least one large buck at the end of the week to carouse on.
What were you two arguing about?
Oh, same old stuff.
I heard you saying something about a doctor and your father accusing you of being evil-minded.
Oh, that. Well, I was just saying that Doc Hardy isn't my idea of the world's greatest physician.
No, he's not mine either. Oh, that Bridget. I thought I'd never get away. She started telling me all about her second cousin on the police force in St. Louis. Well, if you're going to go to work on the front edge, why don't you go? I mean, why don't you go out into the sunshine before the fog comes back? Because I know it will. I should say the rheumatism in my hands knows. It's a better weather prophet than you are, James. Oh, who would ever have thought that they were once beautiful?
Now, none of that nonsense. They're the sweetest hands in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Jamie, your mother's right to scold us. The way to start work is to start work. Hot sun will sweat some of that booze out of you.
There you are. I was just coming upstairs to look for you.
I waited till they went out. I don't want to mix up in any arguments. I feel too rotten.
Oh, I'm sure you don't feel half as badly as you make out. You like to get us worried so we'll make a big fuss over you. You're such a baby. Oh, no, dear, I'm only teasing. I know how wretchedly uncomfortable you must be. But you feel better today, don't you? All the same, you must rest all you can. Come and sit down now. I'm going to make you comfortable. There now, how's that?
That's grand. Thanks, Mom.
You see, all you need is your mother to nurse you. Big as you are still the baby of the family to me, you know.
You never mind me. You take care of yourself. That's what counts.
But I'm all right, dear. Don't you see how fat I've grown? I'm going to have all my dresses let out. They've started work on the front hedge. Poor Jamie. He hates working down front where everyone passing can see him. There go the Chatfields and their new Mercedes. Oh, that's a beautiful car, isn't it? It's not like our second-hand Packard. Poor Jamie. He's bent almost under the hedge so they wouldn't see him. They bowed to your father. And he's bowed back as if he were taking a curtain call. Wouldn't you think he'd have more pride than to make such a show of himself?
No, he's right not to give a damn what anybody thinks. Jamie's a fool to care about the Chatfields. For Pete's sake, who ever heard of them outside this Hickburn?
No one. You're right. Big frogs in a small puddle. Jamie is stupid. All the same, the Chatfields and people like them do stand for something. They have decent, presentable homes. They entertain their friends, and their friends entertain them. They're not cut off from everything. I don't want anything to do with them. Hate this town and everybody in it, you know that. I never wanted to come here in the first place, but your father liked it, and he insisted on building this house, and I've had to come here every summer.
Well, it's better than spending the summer in a New York hotel, isn't it? And this town's not so bad. I like it well enough. I suppose that's because it's the only home we've had.
I never thought of it as being my home. Everything was wrong from the start. Everything was done in the cheapest possible way, and your father would never spend the money to have it put right. He hates making calls, and he hates receiving calls. He doesn't feel the need for family friends. And you and Jamie are just the same. But I don't blame you. You've never had the chance to meet respectable people. I know you both would have been so different if you'd ever met any nice girls instead
of... Forget it. Who cares? Jamie and I would be bored stiff. And about the old man, what's the use of talking? You can't change him.
Don't call your father the old man, dear. It's not respectful. Oh, I know it's useless to talk. But sometimes I feel so lonely.
Well, anyway, Mama, you've got to be fair. It may have been all his fault in the beginning, but you know that later on, even if we'd wanted to, we couldn't have had people here. Well, I mean, you wouldn't have wanted them.
Oh, Edmund, I can't bear it when you remind
Mama,
me of...
Mama, don't take it that way. Hey, come here, sit down. There. Mama, I'm only trying to be helpful, because, well, it's bad for you to forget. No, the right way is to remember so that you'll always be on your guard. And Mama, you know what's happened before. Mama, you know I hate to remind you. I'm doing it because it's been so wonderful having you home the way you've been. Well, you'd be terrible if anything would
happen. Please, dear. I know you mean it for the best, but... Anyway, I don't understand why you should suddenly say such things. What put it into your mind all of a sudden?
Oh, nothing. Just because I feel rotten and blue, I suppose.
No, tell me the truth. Why are you suddenly so suspicious?
I'm not.
Yes, you are. I feel it. And so is Jamie and your father, particularly Jamie.
Now, Mama, don't start imagining things.
You see, it makes it so much harder for me, living in this atmosphere of constant suspicion, knowing that everyone is spying on me and that nobody believes in me or trusts me.
That's crazy, Mama. We do trust you.
If only I could get out of this house for a day or just for an afternoon. If only I had a woman friend, someone that I could go and visit for an hour and talk about, well, not about anything serious, just laugh and gossip for a while and forget. Someone beside the servants, that stupid Kathleen.
Well, Mama, you're getting yourself all worked up over nothing.
Your father goes out. He sees his men friends in the club or in a bar room, and you and Jamie have those boys that you know, but I am alone. I'm always alone.
Well, you know that that's a fib. Now, one of us always stays with you to keep you company, or we go with you in the automobile when you take a drive.
Because you don't trust me to be alone. Now, Edmund, I insist that you tell me why you act so differently today, why you saw fit to remind me that...
Oh, it's stupid. Well, it's just that I wasn't asleep when you came into my room last night. And you didn't go back to your and Papa's room. You went into the spare room for the rest of the night.
Because your father snoring was driving me crazy. Good heavens. Haven't I often used the spare room as my bedroom before? Oh, but I see what you thought.
I didn't think anything.
And so you were pretending to be asleep in order to spy on
me. No, Mama, I did it because I knew that if you found out that I was feverish and couldn't sleep, it would upset you. Oh, Mama, will you stop it?
You know, I can't bear it, Edmund, when even you... It would serve all of you right if it were true.
Now, wait a minute. You stop talking
now,
like
Edmund,
that, Mama. That's the way you talk when it happens.
You hurt me. I couldn't sleep because I was thinking of you. There, that is the real reason. I've been worried about you since you've been sick, dear.
Mama, that's foolishness. You know, it's just a bad cold.
Oh, yes, of course I do.
Of course you do. Listen, Mama, I want you to promise me that... Well, even if it should turn out to be something worse, you won't stop taking care of yourself because
no.
You know that I'll soon be better anyway.
I won't listen when you're so silly. You have no reason to talk as if you expected something dreadful. Of course I promise you. I give you my sacred word of honor. But I suppose you're remembering that I've promised on my word of honor before.
No, I'm not.
Well, I don't blame you. How can you help it? How can you forget? How can any one of us? You see, that's what makes it so hard on all of us. We can't forget.
Mama, stop it.
All right, dear. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sound gloomy. Don't mind me. I'll feel your head. It's nice and cool. You certainly have no fever now.
Oh, forget me, Mama. It's you.
But I'm all right, dear. Except that I am a little tired and nervous after such a restless night. What I really ought to do is go upstairs and lie down until lunchtime and take a nap. What are you going to do? Sit here and read? You'd be much better off to go out in the fresh air and sunshine. But don't get overheated now. Remember, take your hat. Or are you afraid to trust me alone?
No. Now, can't you stop talking like that? Now, I think that you ought to take a nap.
Well, I guess I'll go out and help Jamie bear up. I love to lie in the shade and watch him work.